call is now being recorded.
Well, hello there, lady. How are you?
Hello, Ms. Rainey. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I just want to thank you for consenting to do this podcast. This is, I've been a little busy and haven't had a chance to really catch up on these. But I wanted to make this evening an evening of interviewing some of what I'm considering some of Harvey's heroes, some of the people that I worked and watched work very closely for the recovery efforts, and people that I was able to work with and kind of help out or try to help find resources for certain things that were needed. Excuse me. Just got through talking to Judy, and she gave us a lot of insight on how it started, how she got involved, and I talked a little bit about how I first met her in 2010, I think, helping, as she was again, helping the community, helping ladies who had just gone through, you know, maybe chemo or things like that concerning, you know, breast cancer, and were okay and survived that. And she was giving a weekend of pampering and makeup, and there was a lot of music, a lot of food. It was just, I've been involved in several of those that she was doing, and it was just a lot of fun. And I met you actually through Judy, because when she made posts on Facebook, I responded, and so she was instrumental in dispatching people to resources, and that's how I met you. And I must say, it's been great knowing you, great meeting you, and I think it's a beautiful collaboration. So what I want to do is tell you a little bit about how we went to interview people who I'd seen work so hard during Harvey. I know there were so many other people that I don't know about, that I don't know by name, so many Houstonians did some beautiful work in terms of Harvey recovery, but the name of the podcast is Fannie Lou's Children, and it's a nod to my hero, Fannie Lou Hamer, out of Mississippi, who went on to become a civil rights and a voting rights activist. And I call her the accidental activist because that is not what she started out doing, and is not what she really intended to do to become the woman that she was. So any person, any organization that works to exact change and work for the betterment of the community, I consider one of Fannie Lou's children. So Ms. Keisha Morgan, again, thank you for consenting to this interview. Welcome to Fannie Lou's Children. And the first question I'd like to ask you is, how did you get involved in the recovery efforts for Harvey?
Okay, well, first of all, I would like to say you're more than welcome, and thank you for having me. Secondly, I got involved with Harvey when I saw the hurricane. I think it was just devastating for everybody here in Houston, just to see everyone going through it and just watching the water on the news and see how everybody was struggling, and then you just seem helpless, you know. And it was like, there's something I've got to do. I've got to do something. I don't know what, but I've got to do something. And so I found out two of my amazing sister friends were actually affected severely. And they're a family of seven. So, I mean, they were severely affected. They lost their apartment, they lost their cars, and they had a newborn baby that was 4 weeks old. So instantly, I fell into action mode. So I was like, I got to come up with a plan. I got to come up with something. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I've got to do something. So I got in contact with them, and I was like, look, we got to figure this out. Cleaning supplies. I also attended your organization.
Excuse me, Keisha. There was a big pause in there. I don't know why, but I'm not going to ask you the same question again, but if you don't mind, start over after you made the reference to your friends, that two ladies that were sisters. I'm sorry about that, but I'm not going to edit it. I'm just going to keep going with it. Can you start do that part over?
Sure. So two of my sister friends were majorly affected. They lost their home, their vehicles, everything. They also had a three or four-week-old baby, family of seven. So that really touched my spirit and my heart. So I immediately went to action mode. I was like, there's something I've got to do. I don't know what, but I've got to do something.
Let me see.
Immediately I started reaching out, resources, trying to figure it out. So then I automatically started visiting different churches, organizations. I even went to your organization, pick up food, water, cleaning supplies, clothing donations, anything I could, diapers, milk, whatever was available. Because at the same time, they didn't have a vehicle. I think that's what a lot of people ran into when it came to the supplies. There was a lot of people giving supplies, but nobody had a way to get to those supplies. So I was able to go around and get supplies, take them supplies, whatever they needed. At the same time, after I made sure they were okay, I just couldn't stop. Because every time I continued to turn on the TV or news, it was just more and more people affected. So as I was helping them, they still needed more stuff. So it really, supplies were limited. So I went through Facebook and I was already friends with Miss Judy Williams. So I reached out to her and I was like, hey, I need some help. You know, I have a family of seven. They need some assistance. I don't know what you can do, but we need some help.
Yeah.
She immediately reached me out to a bunch of different beautiful angels. And they blessed me with different things and just different donations and how to get to them. So as Judy let me know as well, she was like, you know, there's another family here need help. Sure, I'll go help them. I'll take them this. You know, I'll pick up this. And then we also had a lady on our team by Miss Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Amy, she is a wonderful angel. She will come by, pick up some of the supplies that I will pick up and go deliver them to different families. So we kind of were working as a team. Everybody was a team. Everybody had like a different role.
Okay.
So Miss Judy ended up taking the lead role kind of, and she was like the liaison. Miss Judy knows everybody.
Yeah.
So, and she kind of made it easy for everybody. She kind of let everybody do their own thing, and it kind of worked. You know, she was like, you know, Keisha's the food person.
Okay.
You know, so I was responsible for the food, the clothes, and the cleaning supplies, and the toiletries, making sure I could go pick that up, made it available for whoever needed it, people that lived
so
in the hotel.
So you kind of kept your ear, a watch out, an ear out for organizations that may have had those items that you would need, and then you would go to those organizations and pick up donations from them.
Correct. And
okay.
Like I stated, a lot of families didn't have transportation to do that, but they needed these things.
Right, I understand.
Thankfully,
so I imagine
the transportation to do that to help assist to get them those things delivered.
Yes, ma'am. So I can imagine it was probably not a lot of people who were out there with transportation as well, especially, you know, SUVs and big cars and trucks and that type of thing that would be required to, in a lot of cases, to make deliveries as you did. Yeah, you were everywhere. You were all over the place. And I imagine, you know, it came to the point where, you know, I know there were no donations for monetary donations for people to take care of gas and things like that for their vehicles but you were I heard you were all over this town. You know, it's a huge city. I understand you were all over this town picking up donations and getting them to the right places. Although I know you said that Amy, and I'm going to talk to her, she's going to be the third hero that I am living in hotels. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. So I was saying that I heard that Amy was still helping people delivering food as of late as today. I guess these people, are there still some people living in hotels still?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are still people living in hotels. There's still people in different little cities. Like, there's still people. I'm still delivering. Now, I do go outside the city. Like, I still take food donations outside, like, to Richmond. I pick up donations from Lee City, things like that. But Amy is still delivering to, like, different hotels. She goes out to Conroe, different places. Everybody still needs help. There's a lot of people still needs help.
So
it's not over.
So under what circumstances would a person still be be sheltering in hotels?
I'm sorry?
Under what circumstances? Why are some people still in hotels?
I found out that a lot of people are still in hotels for some people were living with maybe other family members, and then that particular family member lost their home, so they're staying with somebody. So now they don't have anywhere to go.
I see.
Or maybe they were possibly they just, the home didn't have any insurance, and it's a low-income community, or maybe apartment complexes, and the whole complex was flooded out, and the owners are not repairing it, so they're just out on the street.
Wow, that's really devastating. It's just, you know, still hard to hear.
And FEMA is not
a lot of people.
Assistance at all, hardly.
Right. Wow. So Judy did give me a list of things. You know, she did mention some things that were still, I did put those in the show notes as to some things that you all were still asking donations for, like sweaters, coats, blankets, hoodies, and sheetrock for the repairs of some of the homes. That would help getting a lot of people back into their homes. Because a lot of people are still considered in a homeless situation. Whether they're living with people, I think I even heard reference to someone say something about some people still living outside. So I'm assuming, don't know what that means, but, maybe it means exactly what it sounds like it means, that people are actually, who had homes before Harvey and are actually homeless now. Are you taking any type of particular donations? Are you looking for something more specific, or is what you're doing, what you're looking for, kind of along the lines of the family, the group, with the sheetrock and some of those things that I mentioned?
That, and also Christmas is coming up. So we're going to be needing, like, whatever type of food donations as far as, like, maybe turkeys or hams to feed families for Christmas. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. That will be my area.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking for donations that, you know, in terms of food and monetary donations that could buy those items. How many families are you trying to feed? Is there a limit on that? Do you have, how are you choosing who to feed?
As many as we can.
Many
as possible.
Okay. So are they reaching out to you, to the group, saying that they need these donations?
Yes. They're going to reach out to the group through Facebook and things like that.
I see. Okay. Well, Keisha, I want to thank you for consenting to this, to do this interview with me. I really appreciate it. I know it's kind of late, but I have a, you know, busy day tomorrow, but I wanted to get people to understand a little bit more, you know, our listeners to understand a little bit more about the fact that there's still recovery efforts going on in Houston post-Harvey, and what some of those needs, you know, what some of those needs are, and some of the people who are working very hard and diligently to make sure that people are being taken care of still. And so I will, the way to donate, I think you mentioned to me earlier, was the same link that I have used in the show notes for on Judy's podcast. So
correct.
I suppose that that will work for you as well. How, so is that how a person who wanted to donate food items, do they go through the same source?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're all working together. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. 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 Again, thank you so much, Ms. Keisha Morgan.
Thank you.
One of who I consider, one of Harvey's heroes, as well as one of Fannie Lou's children. Thank you again, and I will talk to you soon.
You're more than welcome, Miss Renee, and thank you for having me, and you have a wonderful evening.
You do the same, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.